sure that the nation wouldn't tear itself apart due to my presence. Now they seek to take the last thing I have left to my name. I have had enough!"
Alduin said forcefully, slamming his fist on the desk.
"I don't know what Amelia sent Stanton here to do, or how Veronia's become involved in this all, or what these adventurers could possibly want, but I will not risk even the slightest chance of being ejected from my new home."
"Then what are we gonna do?" I asked the Bond with frustration in my voice, hoping he had a better insight into what our next move was. "Assuming Stanton isn't lying about the ley line, we will have to find a way to address that, or Aldford will be destroyed. But then if we do somehow figure out a way to repair the ley line, we'll be exposed to whatever they're planning. If they're planning something, we still don't know for sure."
"Stanton is an Iberian noble," Alduin said bitterly. "Plotting and intrigue is second nature to their kind. Truthfully, I was prepared for him to do something when I had heard he had arrived. However, I merely expected him to demand early repayment of the debt that I owe House Daenerys and cut his losses."
"And can they force you out based on that debt?" I queried, trying to think of any legal ways Stanton or House Daenerys could take control of Aldford.
"Not easily,"
Alduin answered without hesitation.
"I would have to consult Writ for the full details, but I believe with the tax collected from the adventurers so far, I can make a substantial payment and offer them the rest in resources."
"Or you could just pay them in ether," I told Alduin thoughtfully as a germ of an idea slowly began to form in my head. "We could make a fair argument that it is worth more than raw coinage."
"Aldford technically doesn't possess any ether, though,"
the Bond replied pointedly.
"Only Virtus does, through its claim on the hub. Stanton may use that point against me, and refuse to allow you to effectively buy out my debt."
"And if I were to sell a vat of ether directly to Aldford in exchange for food or supplies?" I countered, waving Aldwin's concerns away. "For, say, a low price of a copper a liter? There's not exactly a thriving market for it out here outside of me and a handful of the other mages."
"That could work,"
Alduin allowed, speaking slowly as he considered my offer.
"But Stanton will know exactly what you did."
"So what?" I grunted. "He's already threatened to dispute our claim to the ruins we found, assuming he still even wants to now that we have a rough idea of where the rupture is."
"I'm sure he will, eventually, if not right away,"
Alduin said confidently.
"From their perspective, if Aldford controls the ether to Iberia, then they will see themselves effectively at our mercy. Regardless if Stanton is telling the truth and sincerely wishes to help us right now, Emilia will never let that stand long term, neither with the king or the other nobles, especially with the threat of war looming over Iberia."
"Then we need to join the game and start building our power base right now," I told Alduin excitedly as a wave of inspiration struck me.
"You have an idea?" Alduin asked. "What can we possibly do to stand up to the might of an entire kingdom?"
"We use the coming war to our advantage," I replied, feeling my earlier stress fade away as my thoughts began to race. "Currently the military is fortifying Coldscar and preparing to meet the Ascendancy head-on. Once the war starts, Iberia won't be able to send forces up to Aldford without attracting attention from the Ascendancy and risking it being intercepted. They'll be cut off from the continent by all except the fastest and sneakiest scouts."
"That would cut us off as well," Alduin noted. "If the Ascendancy realized that we were the source of all ether for Iberia, we would be doomed to stand against them."
"I don't disagree," I acknowledged with a nod, "but we have a wild card that can tip the scales in our favor, even if we are isolated."
"We do?"
Alduin's expression shifted rapidly from confusion to realization as he cut his question off before he could fully ask it.
"The adventurers?"
"Exactly," I said with a knowing smile. "The first thing that's going to happen when the Ascendancy and Iberia go to war is all of the adventurers and guilds surrounding Coldscar are going to be destroyed or forced to flee."
"And you want to offer them safe haven and absorb them,"
Alduin finished, resting a hand on his chin in thought.
That may work, but would bring problems of its own, depending how many joined us.
I think we can deal with adventure problems much easier than the political ones Stanton represents, I said confidently. If only for the fact that if we reject them, they will have nowhere else to go. As it is, adventurers are fiercely territorial, and we have more than enough space to spare if they're willing to play by our rules. If the Ascendancy or Iberia decide to move on us in the future, we'll have enough manpower to make them regret it.
Lyrian, what you're proposing is more than just using the adventurers as a deterrent, Alduin said with concern. You want to turn Oldford into an adventurer city.
Bigger than that, Frederick, I replied, mentally readying myself for the genie I was about to unleash. I want to turn Oldford into the heart of an adventurer nation. Chapter 14 CTI Player Housing Complex. Hey, Marcus. A smiling, blonde-haired woman greeted me as her face appeared on one of the large screens before me.
It's nice to finally see the real you after all this time.
Likewise, Sonia, I replied with a genuine grin as I finally saw the real person behind Freya's avatar and found her startlingly similar to her in-game appearance, save for her having slightly longer hair in reality and sharper Scandinavian features. We put this off for too long.
Hey, is that Sonia?
A familiar voice called out as an older, bearded man's face appeared on the screen beside the one that held Sonia's, having not been in view of his camera's pickup.
Nice to finally see you too.
Hello, Thorn.
Sonia started to give the man a small wave before realizing her slip-up.
I suppose I should call you George out here.
Oh, don't worry about that, George replied with a chuckle. I've done that at least 3 times now, going between Marcus and Peter. It takes a bit of getting used to.
That it does,
Sonia agreed wistfully.
It's not like we spend all that much time in reality anymore, Peter chimed in from behind me as he, Zack, and Deckard made their way over from the table and fell into the couch beside me, each of them carrying a drink in hand. We hardly even use our real names now.
Did any of the others say if they're going to be coming to the meeting? I asked, wondering if I'd have a chance to see Cyril, Huxley, or any of the other Thunder Lizards for the first time.
No, not this time.
Sonia shook her head, causing her long blonde hair to sway from side to side.
Leandra needs all the help he can get right now, so they all stayed behind to help him out with crafting and raising the framework for the newest longhouse, along with managing our new recruits. They said they're happy with whatever we decide.
All right, I said with a nod, understanding their choice all too well. Even as we spoke, our virtual avatars were likely working right beside them as they worked to settle all the new arrivals in their new home, as well as serving as a warning system to alert us if something happened in-game. Turning around to the apartment behind me, I called out to the 2 missing members of the group.
Are we ready to start? Hopefully we can sort out a plan without it taking too long.
We're ready.
Misha's voice echoed out from the kitchenette a moment before she and Heron appeared and made their way over to us, grabbing a pair of chairs from the table as they joined us.
Okay,
I began, shifting myself around to look between Sonia and George displayed on the screens before me. So, today turned out a bit more exciting than any of us had anticipated, and I think we need to regroup and make sure that we're all on the same page.
I'll say,
Sonia agreed enthusiastically.
You mean the page where there's a giant ley line under Aldford that may explode at the drop of a hat? Or the page where you told Alduin that you want to found an entirely new nation and give us even more work to do?
Peter asked sarcastically, clearly enjoying the opportunity to give me a hard time.
Because, forget page, I don't think I'm even in the same book as you.
Peter's right here, Mark. We were barely gone for 3 hours.
Deckard chimed in, leaning forward on the couch so he could see me as he spoke.
Couldn't you have waited a few weeks before giving us 2 impossible tasks and embarking on a path to piss off a neighboring nation on the edge of war?
We were blindsided, Misha replied, coming to my rescue. Stanton just appeared and roped us into his meeting,
As it was lucky Marcus was in the right place to even meet him.
Unless his timing was calculated to include Marcus, Heron added, having heard all my suspicions of Stanton's honesty.
God, thinking like that is going to give me gray hair, Zack commented with a sigh. Or give me ulcers.
I know a lot happened really fast, I said, shifting myself in my seat so I could look at the group while still seeing Sonya and George on the screens. And maybe I overstepped with the whole nation idea, but in the span of a day, our original plan of let's settle the newcomers and build up Aldford turned into, hey, there's a magical time bomb under your town, and by the way, a war is coming. Oh, and also, your town may be annexed if it doesn't explode first. We need to come up with a better long-term plan and assume the worst.
And the best way to do that is to figure out what Stanton's real motivations are, Sonya suggested confidently. If he's hiding stuff from us, either about the ley line or his plans for Aldford, confirming that will go a long way to helping us do what needs to be done.
Well, I don't think we'll be able to trap him in wordplay or get him to contradict himself, I said, considering Sonya's idea.
He's too crafty for that.
You're thinking about it the wrong way, Marcus, Sonya replied with another shake of her head on the big screen.
The adventurer you met, Lazarus, told you that Stanton isn't telling the truth? Make him prove it. Tell him to send us his raw feed of what he said about Stanton. It's impossible for someone to forge, and CTI has no restrictions about sharing it after the time limit is up.
There's an idea,
Peter replied enthusiastically. I hadn't considered taking a meta approach to getting Lazarus to prove what he said. I commented thoughtfully as I reached out to grab a tablet that was sitting on a nearby end table and brought up a search. Maybe we can see if he's posting his feed anywhere right now and save us some time.
While Mark does that, I want to talk a bit more about this whole founding a nation idea that he had, Heron stated.
As great as it would be, it seems a bit beyond our reach right now, Peter jumped in immediately. I mean, as it is, we're struggling to find a place to house anyone, let alone let more people in.
Actually, that's my point. I kind of think it is within our reach, Heron said, looking around the group as he spoke. Sure, we're nowhere near ready to elect or crown someone and declare ourselves a sovereign state, but we can at least start preparing the groundwork to do so.
Heron paused to collect his thoughts and nodded his head towards Deckard and Zack.
Remember when we passed that Hallowguard Guild in the wild today? They were off on their way to carve out their own settlement somewhere towards the northeast, far away from Aldford.
Yeah, I remember them, Deckard replied. Wish they'd stayed with us. They actually knew what they were doing.
They did seem like a decent bunch. Smart, too,
Zack agreed with a nod.
But what does that have to do with anything?
It has everything to do with it, Heron stated. If they manage to survive and form their own settlement, then we'll be in a position to support one another, trade goods, and have mutual protection if something comes to threaten the area. Marcus's idea to invite more adventurers into the area will only cause other settlements to spring up, or give the existing settlements more manpower to expand. If we can get enough adventurers up here, then their presence in the area will make Iberia or the Ascendancy think twice before coming to poke us with a stick. With enough time, we can get enough of us working together to declare ourselves completely independent from either nation.
I can see inviting more adventurers working in some cases, Peter said. But I think you're being really optimistic with the quality of adventurer that we're going to get. There are going to be a ton of people who aren't going to play along. Look at what happened with Graves and Mazder. We're going to be inviting a hell of a lot of trouble right into our backyard.
More trouble than Iberia? Or the Ascendancy? Heron queried. Let's face it, guys. As soon as that war starts, we're going to be completely cut off from Iberia for who knows how long. And while we're far away, there's nothing stopping the Ascendancy if it decides to keep going westward at some point. The way I see it, we either start trying to make ourselves look too tough to risk bothering, or we pull up stakes in Aldford and try resettling somewhere else even deeper in the wild.
Which would mean giving up our claim to the Nefarian ruins in the area, I added, having been following the conversation while browsing for Lazarus's feed on my tablet. And by extension, our ether supply. The chances of us finding something similar would be slim to none.
That's why I think we should seriously look at digging in and seeing if we can get even more adventurers out this way.
Heron repeated, his eyes darting between Deckard and me.
Look, I know that I painted a pretty bad picture of Coldscar the other day, with all the infighting and banditry, but I took a quick scan of the newest feeds coming out of the major guilds in that area this last afternoon, and a handful of them have mentioned that they're considering abandoning their holdings, since they already know that the Ascendancy is coming. Don't forget, them thinking that was 10 days ago. The situation may have gotten worse by now.
A targeted invitation would be a better approach than just announcing ourselves online or in our feeds, Peter agreed, still not clearly sold on the idea.
Have you seen any feeds from the Ascendancy's point of view? What are they doing? They have to have their own adventures, too.
There's a fair bit I saw, but not all of it useful, Heron replied. A handful of Ascendancy guilds have set up their own settlements on the edge of their westward frontier and have focused around town development, like us. There are also a few Ascendancy guilds that are actively raiding Iberian guild settlements, which then in turn do the same thing back to one of their settlements. It's hard to say what's really happening since there are just so many feeds to sift through. I could spend all day searching and not find anything useful.
I'll say, I chimed in while scowling at my tablet, using my thumb to scroll downwards. Apparently you can have multiple people with the same name in Ascend Online, and there are currently 149 different Lazarus Canes that are currently playing right now and posting their feeds.
Anything from our incarnation of the name? George's voice called out from the screen.
I haven't been able to find anything that matches what I remember of him, I replied with resignation, turning the tablet off and putting it in my lap. I managed to filter the list down by location, and it still didn't come up with any results.
It was worth a try, Sonya said, her pale shoulders appearing briefly on the screen as she shrugged at me. I think Peter has a good idea, though, with inviting guilds that have indicated they want to leave the Coldscar area. At any rate, they may seem the most likely to take us up on our offers.
I meant that invitation more as an offhand comment, Peter said hesitantly. I'm still not sure if this is the best idea for us. We've survived for the most part by being off the beaten path and hidden. If we invite a huge crop of guilds out our way, what's to stop the whole situation surrounding Coldscar to repeat itself? I watched the same feeds Heron did. In some areas, they're a few steps shy of a war zone there. We don't need that up here near Aldford.
What you've seen are only snapshots of the area, Peter. So you probably don't know why it turned out the way it did, George said, a hand coming up to scratch his beard as he spoke. I was there with the first wave of players, and a lack of space combined with the terrain is what's causing all the conflict that you're seeing now.
What do you mean? Peter asked, cocking his head to the side. I didn't notice anything particular with the terrain when I watched. It was mostly flat, too.
The outlying regions are flat, but how much of the area surrounding Coldscar did you see? George asked. Because the approach to the actual city is very hilly, and there are only a handful of safe routes to reach it, unless you fancy climbing straight up an escarpment. During the early days, when the first guild settled the area, they settled on top of the best routes that led to and away from Coldscar, which in turn forced newer guilds to settle further away from the city, or to find a new path through altogether. Some of the guilds decided that they didn't want anyone passing through their domains, George continued to explain. That led to really long travel times to and from Coldscar, if not cut it off entirely if a guild decided to close a route for a time.
Which builds resentment and eventually causes things to snowball. Peter finished with a slow nod of understanding.
Okay, that does make sense. If Iberia policed the routes and ensured they stayed open, it might have ended up being a peaceful area, Sonya added. But the moment you passed the city limits, they just didn't care and let the adventurers run wild.
We wouldn't have had that problem in Aldford, I said. The area surrounding us is flat and lush for miles, if not further. There's plenty of room for everyone to expand.
Which again gets us back to the question of how we're going to get the right sort of people to move up into our area,
Deckard pointed out.
If we can get more people like those from Hallowguard, I'm on board, but I'd want it targeted to a select few. As it is, once entire guilds start moving out towards us,
People are gonna notice.
I think you've lost me, Zack interjected. How are we even gonna convince people to come up here? Just cold call them? They won't know us from a hole in the wall.
I'm not so sure, Zack, Misha responded. You forget that we're ranked 899th on the feeds. If we approach any serious guild and tell them that there's opportunity out here if they want to play by the rules, they'd be idiots not to take us seriously.
There was a brief moment of silence as Misha's words resonated with the group, everyone turning to look at her.
Misha?
Sonya was the first to speak, her eyes widening as she looked out from the screen.
That's brilliant! Damn! I forgot all about that, Zack exclaimed while rapping his knuckles on his forehead. I keep looking for an in-game solution to all of this.
We spend so much time playing, Zack, that it's only natural to, I replied, completely understanding his perspective. I mean, we've spent, what, maybe 4 days out of the last month in reality?
If no one has any objections, I can put a list of guilds together that we could reach out to over the next few days or weeks, then?
Aaron asked while glancing between everyone. No problem with me, Deckard answered as everyone chorused in behind him. Well, I guess that solves our long-term problems, I said, feeling a bit better to have a plan in place. What about dealing with Stanton and Lazarus in the short term?
First things first, we should do what Sonya recommended and get him to send us his feed, Misha replied without hesitation. That way we can be sure about what Stanton is telling us and just how much we can or should bring Lazarus into our planning. But in the meantime, I think we should just play along with whatever Stanton wants, but to also be sure to reinforce our independence.
And if this Lazarus guy refuses to share his feed? Peter asked. Or if the time delay prevents him from being able to?
Then we keep them both at arm's length and do what's best for Aldford, Sonya suggested. We still have a ton of work to do around the town, on top of training the recruits.
There's also the quest I got from Stanton, wanting us to escort him to the hub and lake ruins, I added. If we show him the ruins, we might be able to get a better insight into what his plans are, depending on how he reacts to them. We're also stuck waiting a day for Lazarus and his group to log back in, since they're taking their rest break tonight.
If nothing else, that'll give us a day to get more stuff finished around Aldford,
Deckard said wearily while nodding his head at me.
Before we left, Mark, Leandra mentioned that he could use our help for the day tomorrow. He needs us completely dedicated to planning and crafting if we're going to get everything finished before his rest cycle comes up in a few days.
That's fine, I acknowledged, silently happy that Leandra was so willing to take over so much of the building and development in Aldford. I need to talk to him about getting the new forge and smelter in the foundry finished, too. He's the highest level stonemason we have, and I honestly don't have time to pick up a new trade skill to catch up.
You really want to try melting that mystery metal from the tower, don't you?
Deckard commented, well aware of the troubles I had trying to smelt it.
It'd be nice to, I said with a sigh. We need metal badly as it is. I'm just hoping that with all the trouble it's giving me, it'll be worth it.
Hopefully, the big man agreed.
So, with all that stuff about Stanton and guild recruitment out of the way, is there anything else that we need to talk about for the night?
George asked from the screen, sensing that the meeting was starting to digress.
If not, I may go see about getting myself something to eat before our show starts.
Oh, I forgot about that!
Sonya called out from the opposite screen, her expression becoming excited.
We're on again tonight, too.
I think that's everything for now, I replied back to the pair, everyone else near me exclaiming their excitement for the upcoming show. We can regroup once we have a list of guilds to reach out to, or get in touch with Lazarus.
Sounds good to me. Have a good night, everyone,
George said, giving us a goodbye wave before disconnecting.
Same for me. Good night, everyone.
Sonya joined in as her eyes shifted to find me.
See you tomorrow, Marcus.
Good night, Sonya. I called back with a smile just before she disconnected and vanished from the screen.
We have 30 minutes before it starts,
Peter called out without missing a beat as he switched the channel to game TV.
Get yourself sorted!
Without another word, Zack, Deckard, and Heron practically leaped off the couch as two of them rushed towards the washroom and another towards the kitchenette, leaving Peter, Misha, and I staring at two men dressed in over-the-top stylized armor. One being painted blue and the other red.
Oh, I love this show.
Misha said as she leaned back on the couch and pulled her legs in close just as Peter turned up the volume.
Good evening, gamers!
The man in red armor announced.
Welcome to our second ever Ascend Online segment of Extreme Death of the Week! My name is Kenneth Spankin'Tank, and this is my partner, Vincent the Face Roller! We have an awesome show prepared for you tonight!
Right you are, Ken. I really don't think our viewers are going to be disappointed tonight.
The blue-armored man picked up seamlessly from his partner.
For those of you joining the show for the first time tonight, get ready to experience the heaviest, bloodiest, and most hydraist compilation of death we've managed to find this week!
That's right!
Kenneth exclaimed as he drew a large foam sword from his side and held it in the air.
For our first hapless adventurers of the week, we're off to the dark marshes of the Demon Wood. I bet this group wishes they paid more attention to that name now.
Their loss is our gain, Ken.
Vincent quipped as the scene shifted into someone's feed, revealing a pitch-black bog in the middle of the night.
Hey, Misha, Mark, you want a beer?
Deckard's voice called out from behind me a heartbeat before a loud, roaring sound filled our small apartment.
Yes, please.
Misha answered, not taking her eyes off the screen.
Yeah!
I shouted back, trying to make myself heard as a flash of scales appeared on the screen, followed by a wave of fire and screaming.
On second thought, bring me two beers. I think I'm gonna need them after watching this.
Chapter 15 Tuesday, March 12th, 2047, 9:57 a.m. Oldford, the arena.
Ha!
Alistair grunted as he swung his axe in a vicious swing towards me, giving me barely a second to react to the attack as Helix's sword slammed into Razor's edge and held it firm, trapping the blade on the opposite side of my body.
No chance to avoid this,
I mentally noted as I reached up towards Alistair's descending axe while simultaneously preparing myself for the pain that was about to come. My hand caught the haft of the adventurer's axe and pushed against it, slowing Alistair's attack before it could build enough momentum to completely ruin my day. With a flash of searing pain, I felt the cool edge of the axe graze my shoulder, carving through a layer of flesh and muscle as it bit through my exposed skin, instantly making me regret that I agreed to do this bout without my armor.
Damn it!
I couldn't help but curse softly through clenched teeth, forcing myself to focus as I yanked sharply on Alistair's axe while simultaneously lunging closer towards him. Forced to step forward or lose his weapon, Alistair chose to doggedly hold on to his axe as my grip pulled him off balance and towards me, giving me the opportunity to twist away from Helix and sink my knee deep into his stomach. The blow left him gasping, allowing me to easily step around him and shove him into the tall Araxi, who called the match after seeing that his sparring partner was unable to continue.
Hold!
Helix called as he shifted his weight to catch the now retching Alistair, who clutched at his stomach.
Hold!
I echoed, meeting Helix's eyes, signaling that I understood that the match was over.
That was pretty good this time around, Alistair.
That was pretty good!
Cyril's voice shouted from the edge of the arena, prompting me to look up and see that both he and Huxley had been watching the sparring match.
Should I let go?
The blonde-haired man wheezed in Helix's grip before descending into a coughing fit.
Shit!
Helix offered a moment before muttering under his breath and touching Alistair with a glowing hand.
Better? Loads. Thanks,
the adventurer acknowledged as he straightened his stance and looked towards me.
I tried for too heavy a hit, and should have let you have my axe after you caught it.
Maybe,
I replied while slowly flexing my wounded shoulder. If you were a bit stronger, nothing I did would have mattered. Your timing on the attack was near perfect.
Lyrian speaks the truth,
Helix told Alistair, nodding empathetically.
Your skills have come a long way in a short amount of time. Plus, unlike many, you have no fear of being hurt. It is often the most difficult thing we need to teach recruits.
Pain is an excellent teacher,
Alistair stated with a knowing nod before indicating his armor, the very same that Master was wearing 2 days earlier.
But I'm still fighting against you being fully geared out while you're in a pair of pants and bare-chested.
And you're a priest with a melee build, I replied to Alistair, despite knowing where he was coming from. Scoring a hit in a practice bout didn't mean much when your opponent was practically naked, but at the same time, it was the only way to keep the fight as fair as possible while I was personally training the newest member of Virtus. Plus, Helix wasn't allowed to do anything more than mess with my guard. If it were a no-holds-barred fight, the two of you working together would have put me down easily. Given what had happened with Mazdur, I felt that personal training was the least I could do for Alistair, going as far as to give him the Spellsword's armor that I had won after making a few of my own adjustments to it, and crafting him a brand new axe to go with it. In any case, you should have a chance to catch up today while we're out and about, I told the man as I motioned for him and Helix to step off the arena grounds, towards where Serral and Huxley were standing, seeing that there was another group of adventurers lining up for their own match. Assuming Stanton and his pet mages ever get their asses moving.
They are remarkably late,
Helix agreed as he turned to look towards the town hall.
Of course, we are just lowly commoners, and cannot presume to tell our betters what to do with their time.
Right,
Alistair snorted.
Hey, guys!
Huxley greeted us as we came off of the sandy field, the man's face in a wide smile.
I'm surprised to still find y'all here. I thought you'd have left hours ago.
That was our plan, I grunted as I waved a greeting at the two guild members. Apparently Stanton likes his bed much more than he likes being productive in the morning.
So it seems,
Serral replied before giving me a shrug.
But in either case, we're happy to have caught you. I was hoping to bug you about our new crop of lobies.
Oh? I asked, suddenly concerned. What's going on? Is there a problem?
Nothing too critical,
Huxley replied.
But a bit of a long-term one we're gonna need help with, especially if we're gonna bring them up to speed and have them contributing to the guild sooner than later.
They need new gear badly, Lear,
Serral told me.
The higher-level players that you, Freya, and the others are minding don't have it as bad since they've been playing longer and have had a chance to upgrade their stuff. But the majority of the people Hux and I are mining are still using their starter gear, minus whatever scraps we've been able to pull together from the guild spares.
Damn, I replied, reaching up to rub the sweat off my face with a hand. I didn't realize it was that bad. Will that affect your training today?
Well, we've tried to account for it, so we shouldn't,
Huxley answered.
But once everyone starts getting their base classes and pushing past level 10, it'll start becoming much more noticeable.
And slow us down.
Serral added. All right, I said with a sigh, adding another item on my endless to-do list. I'll try and sort that out in the next day or so, then. I have some stuff that I've been working on that I can hopefully find the time and materials to finish.
We'll be sure to contribute whatever we find today to the guild stores,
Helix said to me.
Assuming we ever depart.
Speaking of that, I think we've waited long enough, I stated, glancing up briefly at the rising sun, agreeing with the lizard man's sentiment as I turned to walk towards the newly built stands, where I'd left my armor for the morning. Amaranth being more than happy to guard it as he dozed nearby, lying in the morning sun. I'm gonna clean up, then go check on Stanton one more time. If he's not ready to leave, we'll get our groups together and go out for the day without them.
Sounds good to us, Lyrian.
Serral said, giving me a wave as I departed.
Good luck!
The three of us, specifically Helix, Alistair, and myself, had thus far wasted the better part of the morning waiting for Stanton and the others to finally show up for their tour to the hub and the lake ruins, despite being told that we were intending to leave first thing in the morning. I had hoped to get a nice and early start to the day, 3 hours ago, so that we could make the best use of daylight and still have time to do something once we got back. But it seemed that neither Stanton nor Samuel or Quincy were inclined to get moving this early in the day. With a sigh, I walked past the stands and my sleeping familiar to where a large bucket stood and took the time to scrub the dried blood off my nearly healed shoulder before turning back towards the stand to dress myself. As useful as it may be to train the new recruits, standing around here is a waste of time in the big picture. I couldn't help but scowl in frustration as I pulled on an undershirt, followed by my gambeson. Drace and I spent nearly 18 hours crafting yesterday to make sure Leandra had enough building materials for the day today, and the two of us could easily put in another 18 hours today, just to keep up with the fervent pace of construction going on in Aldford. not to mention the gear that Serral and Huxley needed for our lowest-leveled recruits. But even if Stanton drags his feet in visiting the ruins today, we have to go out anyway. We're getting damned close to running out of food. An unfortunate side effect of tripling our population without adequate preparation or forewarning of their arrival was its impact on our food stores. In the handful of days since the new settlers had arrived, we'd practically devoured the entirety of our stores, and were in danger of not having enough to go around if there was an emergency. In hopes of solving that, we had decided to split the adventurers that had been recruited to Virtus into three groups and led them out into the wild to replenish our supplies, all the while putting them through their paces and throwing them into the most vicious creatures we could find. The plan was for my group, plus Freya, to take two of the higher-leveled groups of adventurers with us to an area north of the hub, while Helix, Serral, Huxley, and a handful of the other guild members took our lower-leveled recruits to the wolverine-filled plains far to the south of Oldford. With any luck, we would be able to bring back a decent amount of meat and herbs to replenish the village stores. But if we can get Stanton to come with my group while we do that, we can save ourselves half a day in traveling, and hopefully show him how we fight. Maybe it'll make him reconsider any attempt at using force to annex Oldford. Deep in thought, I picked up the last piece of my armor without looking at it, causing a copper ring and a length of chain to slide off it and spin in the air before landing in twin puffs of dirt before me. Crap! I cursed softly to myself as I put the armor back on the stand and reached down to pick up the ring, placing it on my finger and feeling a surge of strength course through my muscles. Still not used to having these. It had taken me a while to bring myself to sort through all the loot that I'd gained from the duel with Mosder, a part of me having subconsciously written off all the gear that he and his party had been wearing as being worthless when compared to my better quality weapons and armor. By the time I'd finally gotten around to checking it, I was standing in the crafting hall preparing myself to salvage the pieces outright for scrap. After finally looking through it, I was surprised to find that two pieces of jewelry had been included in the spoils that Mosder and his companions were forced to hand over after his ill-fated duel. After sifting through the bag, I discovered that there was a single copper ring in the collection of loot, along with a single bronze chain necklace. But it wasn't until I took a closer look at each of them that I realized that they had been enchanted. Picking up the fallen necklace, I shook the dirt off it and brushed it clean before hanging it around my neck, calling up the item's stats as I fastened the clasp. Necklace of Physical Prowess. Slot, neck. Item class, magical. Item quality, good, plus 15%. Strength, plus 1. Agility, plus 1. Constitution, plus 1. Base material, bronze. Weight, 0.0 kilograms. Class, any. Level, 12. If I can ever find some time for myself, maybe I could find out how to learn the enchanting trade skill, I thought idly while looking down at my hand and playing with the ring on my finger as I checked its stats as well. I have 7 more ring slots free, plus 2 earrings and 2 wristbands. If I managed to fill up each of those slots with similar items like this, I could end up being really overpowered for my level. Hell, we all could. But I remember Caius ages ago mentioning that enchanting was an advanced trade skill, whatever that means. Ring of Strength. Slot Ring. Item class, magical. Item quality, good, 15%. Strength, plus 2. Base material, copper. Weight, 0.0 kilograms. Class, any. Level, 12.
Is it time to hunt?
Amaranth queried sleepily while opening a single-eyed look in my direction, his mental voice clearly unhappy to be awoken. "We've waited long enough," I told the cat as I equipped the final pieces of my armor and tightened the straps, ensuring that it would stay in place. "We're leaving, either with Stanton and the others or without them."
"Finally,"
my familiar stated, standing up from its curled position on the ground and arching its back into the typical feline stretch, its massive claws digging deep into the ground in the process.
"I was beginning to become concerned that I would spend the entire day asleep."
"You mean looking forward to it?" I teased Amaranth as I looked back towards the four adventurers, the group having turned to watch a ranked duel between two teams of three adventurers that had taken the field in our place. Despite the negative aspect of Mazdur's antics the other day, the spectacle that he had put on had given birth to what was shaping up to be a very competitive dueling culture between the adventurers in the town. Something that I approved of wholeheartedly, seeing that it had already led to several improvements around the training ground, with a group of adventurers having created several stands to watch the fights from. I'd even heard of a handful of them talking about approaching Leandra to create a proper stadium to host large-scale fights and duels one day.
Perhaps the sun is quite warm this day,
Amaranth admitted, my earlier quip completely going over the puma's head as I heard him sniff the air.
However, there will be rain coming today. I can smell it in the air already.
In that case, we really need to get moving, I said, accepting my familiar's prediction without hesitation, as I tore my eyes away from the duel and began walking towards the town hall, Stanton having moved into one of the three rooms on the second floor. Moving away from the arena, Amaranth and I crossed the length of Altford, watching countless other adventurers and settlers rushing about the town as construction proceeded at a breakneck pace, all the newcomers eager to have a place of their own to get out of the massive tent. If they keep this up, we might actually be able to get the majority of the buildings done by the end of the week, I noted hopefully, spotting Leandra's familiar form in the distance as he directed a group of adventurers towards the newest building site, each of them carrying various building materials and supplies. Continuing our walk through the heart of Aldford, we eventually passed by the now giant ether-warped oak tree that reached up far into the sky above, its azure branches and leaves almost perfectly blending in with the sky above. A large ladder stood leaning against the tree, with a pair of Jenkins's helpers keeping it steady as they craned their heads upwards. Oh, boy, I whispered to myself, following the ladder upwards and seeing Jenkins high up in the tree, leaning on a relatively low-hanging branch. Shifting my route towards the ladder, my approach caught the eye of one of the men holding it steady. What's going on here? I asked, hearing Jenkins curse from high above us as a tool slipped from his grasp and fell to the ground harmlessly several feet away from us.
Trying to trim the tree?
The man replied with a resigned look before wincing at the fallen tool.
But she doesn't want to be trimmed.
Trim it? I looked back up at the branch Jenkins was leaning against and noticed that it had grown long enough that it would start pressing up against the side of the town hall any day now. What do you mean?
Take a look, see at the tool the Jenkins tossed, he said,
just as a second tool came falling from the sky.
Or that one. You'll understand.
Giving the man a curious look, I decided to indulge him and walk over to the spot where I had seen the tools fall, keeping a mindful eye up above in case more came raining down on my head. A few seconds later, I found myself holding a shattered hand axe, its edge completely gone, and the metal dangerously close to completely fragmenting.
It appears shattered,
Amaranth said, looking at the axe curiously before pawing at the second tool that fell, revealing a bent saw whose teeth had been worn down to mere nibs.
This too is damaged.
It does, I agreed, glancing upwards at Jenkins and seeing that he had abandoned his attempt to cut the branch and was climbing back down the ladder.
Let's go see what's going on. Grabbing the two broken tools, we returned to the base of the ladder just as Jenkins stepped off it, shaking his head at me.
So now you see my latest problem,
he began without any preamble, waving a hand at the tools I held.
I've broken 7 different sets of saws and axes on the tree, trying to get that low-hanging branch before it carves through the roof of the town hall.
Damn, I replied with a wince. You can't cut it at all?
Barely anything, Jenkins said with a sigh. I could have sworn I managed an inch last night before breaking everything I had on me, but by the time I climbed up this morning, the tree had somehow healed itself, and I was nearly starting fresh.
Really? I exclaimed, looking over the tree with curiosity. That's interesting. I didn't know it could do that. Jenkins grunted, clearly not sharing the same sentiment as me.
My last resort is to try and use the stone-cutting tools I have on the tree, but if that doesn't work, I'll have to tell Aldwyn that we're going to have to open up the roof of the town hall and give the branch a path through the building.
It'll be less work for me to do that than to forge a mountain of axes and saws to get through the tree, assuming I could find enough metal for it.
Hopefully that'll do the trick, I told Jenkins. If you need any...
The sleeping bear has awoken, and he approaches this way.
Amaranth interrupted as he turned his body away from me, at the same time making a raspy cough at the back of his throat. Cutting off my conversation with Jenkins, I turned my head towards the town hall and spotted Stanton walking down the path and in our direction, with both Samuel and Quincy close behind. Sorry, Jenkins, I have to go. I've been waiting on him all morning, I said, seeing the man nod understandingly.
Better you catching him now than him catching me while I'm trying to carve a length off the tree,
Jenkins stated, as he motioned for the men holding the ladder to take a break and took the tools I was carrying from me.
I've yet to meet him myself, but based on what others have said, I'm happy to postpone that indefinitely.
If only, I replied, letting envy seep into my voice as I gave the man a wave goodbye. I'll catch you later, Jenkins. Good luck with the tree in the meantime. Pulling myself away from the smith, I moved to intercept Stanton and his accomplices, the elder man spotting me as I approached and giving me a curt nod.
I apologize for the lateness of the hour, Stanton told me in a thin voice as he leaned heavily on his walking stick. An old injury flared up this morning and I found myself unable to rise for longer than I had hoped.
He smells of sweat and fever,
Amaranth told me silently from my side.
He hides how much discomfort he is truly in.
Are you going to be able to travel today? I asked, surprised by Stanton's rather ragged condition. True to Amaranth's words, the noble's brow was covered in sweat, and his balance seemed precarious at best. Either the man was a brilliant actor, or there was something indeed wrong with him.
I will be fine, Stanton assured me. A bit of movement is all I need to get myself back into form.
A bit of movement is walking to the river and back, I told Stanton. We are going on a hike for the better part of a day. We will be walking several miles before the day is out. You look like you're about to fall down.
Perhaps a horse would be better, my lord,
Quincy interjected, causing Samuel to nod in agreement.
You cannot walk the terrain towards Crater Lake or the forest beyond in your current state, Samuel added. We know from experience. If that is the case, I will take a horse, Stanton said, turning his head to glare at the two mages before looking back at me. I trust we are ready to leave shortly.
I can have everyone ready within 10 minutes, I replied while sending off a private message to Sierra, telling her that Stanton had finally woken up and was ready to leave. But we can also take you another day if need be.
Today will be fine, Stanton answered curtly. I dare not waste time because of my own frailties. Quincy, while Lyrian readies his guild to leave, please inform our adventurers that I wish for them to accompany us on our trip,
the older noble continued.
They should be a part of this investigation as much as anyone else.
Certainly, my lord,
Quincy replied with a nod.
I will see to it.
In the meantime, Samuel, would you fetch me a horse?
Stanton looked towards the other mage.
Of course, the younger man acknowledged.
He's inviting Lazarus and his group to come with us? I tried to hide my surprise as I watched the pair scurry off to fulfill Stanton's orders. We didn't discuss that earlier. It was supposed to be just Virtus escorting him. Unless he's finally realized just how outnumbered he and Veronia are.
We'll be leaving through the northern entrance, so we might as well start heading that way, I told Stanton. Everyone else will meet us there.
Excellent,
Stanton acknowledged, taking a shaky step forward with his walking cane.
Let's be about it, then.
Bizarre how one who you believe is working against you sends his companions away and openly walks with you, despite being sick and lame.
Amaranth told me as we slowly walked through Aldford and towards the opposite end of the town.
Should you wish to take his life, we could do so at a moment's notice, and he would be powerless to stop us, even armed with sorcery.
But we aren't sure that he's working against us, I replied to my bloodthirsty familiar, realizing that he was still struggling to fully understand the concept of morality and how one couldn't, or at the very least shouldn't, simply kill anyone that annoyed him. If we killed him without proof or cause, the Justicar would become involved and punish us dearly.
The Scentless One is concerning indeed,
Amaranth told me.
He moves unlike any other predator I've seen, beyond what even you adventurers are capable of. There is something unnatural about him.
He is blessed with the power of his god, I said, happy to have steered the cat away from cold-blooded murder. He's supposed to ensure that all remains in balance and that any disputes are handled fairly.
Blessed God?
Amaranth queried, casting a look up at me as the three of us walked, standing completely oblivious to the conversation passing between us.
These are new words to me. What do they mean?
That's complicated to explain, I told the cat while letting a small smile cross my face at his curiosity. I did my best to explain the concept of divinity to Amaranth as we escorted a slow-moving Stanton towards the northern half of the village, the walk taking several times longer than it should have due to the lame noble's pace. Thankfully, he's taking a horse, I exclaimed mentally the moment that we arrived, seeing that Sierra had already organized our group, Donovan, and the Virtus recruits we were taking with us. If he were walking on foot, we'd barely make it to Crater Lake by nightfall. Hey, Lear. Sierra greeted me, with Constantine and Freya following closely behind her as Stanton limped off on his own toward Samuel, who already had a horse waiting for him. What's up with Stanton? He looks a bit rough.
I'd say hungover, Constantine added quietly, but Marlin hasn't managed to make a drop of alcohol yet.
He said it was an old injury, I replied with a shrug, letting them know what I thought of that.
Sure, Constantine whispered sarcastically.
We still up for our plan?
Freya asked, raising an eyebrow in Stanton's direction as he mounted the horse.
We need to get the recruits used to our way of doing things and...
Yeah, I said with a nod, keeping my face steady as I glanced between each of them, our plan to show Stanton just what Virtus was capable of fresh in my mind.
Good,
Freya replied with a nod. One wrinkle, though, I said to the group as I spotted Lazarus and his companions enter through the northern entrance of Aldford, escorted by Quincy. Stanton invited Lazarus and the others to come with us.
We knew that was a possibility when we planned this,
Sierra replied as we all watched Stanton say something sharp to the trio before kicking his horse and trotting over towards us.
We still have them badly outnumbered, though.
We do, I finished, looking up towards Stanton as he came into range.
My group will watch our rear as we travel, with your guild in the front,
Stanton stated without any preamble.
Let us be off quickly. We've lost enough time for the day.
Giving orders already, I thought while looking up at Stanton. Maybe he isn't so sick after all.
Let's get moving,
I said, not answering Stanton directly, while turning my head towards my friends and rolling my eyes where he couldn't see.
We have lost enough time for the morning already.
Stepping around Stanton's horse, I couldn't help but shake my head in resignation as I heard everyone sigh quietly.
Here we go,
I whispered to myself.
Chapter 16
So, I haven't had a chance to fill you in yet, but I checked out some of the feeds coming out of Iberia last night, Constantine said as we gradually descended towards Crater Lake. Everyone having formed into their own clusters as we traveled, giving us some semblance of privacy from everyone else. And one thing that Stanton and Lazarus have mentioned is true. Iberia's in pretty rough shape. If anything, they're both understating just how bad it actually is back there.
What's going on, exactly? I asked as the rest of the group drifted closer to hear Constantine's reply.
The whole city is practically on lockdown and at one another's throats, Constantine replied. Each of the noble houses has set up checkpoints throughout the city and have outright banned other houses from entering certain districts. Regular citizens have to be searched before passing through a checkpoint,
and they really don't like that.
Damn,
Halcyon commented from beside me.
What the hell happened?
I don't know for sure, Constantine said with a shrug. From what I've been able to piece together from multiple feats, there was a massive street fight about 2 weeks ago between three of the noble houses, which only happened because the heir of one house killed the two heirs belonging to the others in a separate incident. But with that being said, I can't find any stream that shows what happened between the heirs, he continued, nor anything else that details the lead-up to the conflict. It was just as if it all happened at once. Plus, there are wild rumors of demons or devils being seen in the city, but nothing to back it up.
With that many adventurers in the city, it was probably a warlock just fucking around with people,
Caius interjected. As it is, I can't imagine that there would still be that many adventurers hanging around Iberia to see everything that's going on, let alone bother to post their feed, I said, understanding Constantine's frustration. With all the action happening in Coldscar, or further out in the wild, staying in the city is a waste of time.
Lazarus and his group stayed in the city,
Freya pointed out, her voice coming from behind me.
I've seen their gear, and it looks pretty good. I think they have to be around level 13 or 14.
I wonder what they did to level so close to the city then,
Thrace commented.
There was hardly anything higher than level 4 in the wild when we were out there.
Who knows, Constantine replied. Maybe we'll get a chance to ask them today, if Stanton ever strays more than 10 feet from them, or through private messages later tonight, now that they're logged in again. Let's just see how the day goes, I said, as we finally reached the tree line and left the forest surrounding Crater Lake. We haven't even reached the hub yet, let alone seen how Stanton reacts. Scanning the shoreline reflexively for threats as we left the cover of the woods, I was happy to note that nothing of interest caught my eye. Over the last couple weeks, there had been countless adventurers passing through the area as they made their way to the Webwood to hunt, which had a fortunate side effect of thinning the population of creatures that once infested the area. Glancing upwards, I checked the trees high above, seeing that they had successfully recovered from the temporary spider invasion that had left them coated full of webs when hordes of spiders had fled from the Webwood, fleeing from their ether-warped cousins. Satisfied that we could keep walking towards the hub, we continued our journey around the lake's edge and eventually turned north to cut through the gradually shrinking Webwood, which, while still infested with countless spiders, was no longer spreading out of control and in danger of strangling the entire forest.
The memories in these woods will take a lifetime to forget,
Donovan commented wistfully as we carefully negotiated our way through the forest, only spotting a handful of spiders that the new adventurers eagerly dispatched.
Thought they will,
I heard Samuel add, his voice sounding remorseful as he spoke, no doubt remembering the rest of the Mage's Guild expedition that had been kidnapped by goblins. With those memories now at the forefront of everyone's mind, the rest of our trip to the hub proceeded in silence, save for the new adventurers and Alistair that excitedly commented between one another as they explored the area for the first time. This is the first ruin we're stopping at, I announced after a while, turning to look back at Stanton, who gazed up at the weathered statues that flanked the rocky entrance in awe. Are you going to be able to make the climb up?
I will be fine,
Stanton assured me as he moved to get off his horse, Quincy rushing to his side to aid him.
He appears to have recovered rapidly,
Amaranth told me as we all watched Stanton slide off his mount as if borne to the saddle, landing on the ground with a faint wince. It is a long way up and down, I warned the noble, despite turning my attention towards Drace and Sierra as I spoke. Freya, Amaranth, and I will show Stanton and the others around the ruin while the rest of you get started on hunting. We'll catch up when we're done.
Sounds good to me,
Sierra nodded, her eyes shifting towards the two groups of adventurers that stood nearby.
We'll be sure to put the recruits through their paces, too. That sounds worrying,
I heard Alistair's familiar voice mutter from somewhere in the group of adventurers.
It should be,
Drace affirmed, flashing a devilish smirk towards the recruits who had formed two loose groups beside one another.
Hunting?
Lazarus queried as he, Sawyer, and Ransom formed up beside Stanton.
For food and practice, Constantine replied.
We weren't prepared for all you newcomers to arrive so suddenly and didn't have a chance to stockpile food. If we don't get more soon, we're going to start having problems feeding everybody.
Lazarus said with a nod as understanding came across his face.
Makes sense.
Indeed, Stanton added curtly, while glancing sharply at Lazarus, then back at Sierra.
Do not wait to begin your hunt on our account. We aren't certain how long our inspection of the ruin may take.
If that wasn't a dismissal, I don't know what is. I forced myself to keep my face impassive and turned to look toward Sierra. Might as well get on it, then. We'll see y'all in a couple hours.
See you then,
Trey stated simply, before motioning to the northeast with a